From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 317 with guests Jessica DeVita, Janelle Crothers, Krista Anderson, and C.A. Callahan. Recorded Friday, May 3rd, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Run As Radio, and this is your host, Richard Campbell. I'm really excited to be doing this. We've never done this on Run As before. We're going to have a panel discussion. I'm here today at Tech Days in San Francisco. And we're using EventBoard, by the way, everyone, for the content and the show. And it's also the way that we collect your responses to the speakers. So if you want to put in evaluation and so forth, please use EventBoard. It's on your smartphone. And find Tech Days SF, and they'll do that there. Today's panel discussion is women in technology. So I'm not really qualified. But I have a phenomenal panel here, and I'm going to just pass the microphone down along, and if you can introduce yourself, we'll start at this end.
Thank you, Richard. My name is Jessica DeVita.
I'm Janelle Crothers.
I'm Krista Anderson.
I'm C.A. Callahan.
So let's get to a starting point here, which is, I think for me, just looking around the room, it's this community dynamic. It seems like we not always have a minority of women in the community. And I'm wondering, I think there's more of them out there than we realize. What did it take for you guys to get coming out to community events?
Janelle invited me. community for me has been something, a recent occurrence, really in the last couple of years. And it's really done amazing things for my career, as well as just getting to know some really great people. And also knowing that I'm not the only woman in the room, and getting to know other ladies in technology, helping them to get out there as well, because it's important for your career.
Little plug for PAC IT Pros. This is actually how I started. When I started in technology, I realized that I probably should find ways to engage with the community in order to, you know, make contacts for future employment, or just to see what's out there, figure out what technologies to learn. So I went looking for a community that happened. I went looking for user groups, and I found PAC IT Pros, and that's how it all began. That's why I'm still here, because of the support that I've gotten from the community.
One of the reasons why I got involved with the community is sitting in the back next to Darren Marelli eating lunch. Used to work with Mark Manassi, and back in the day when we were all doing speaking at various conferences, realized that the learning about the technology was not only fun in presenting it, but also the conversations you had with people afterwards was critical. So got involved with that. Kept engaging with community there, and as part of the MVP program with Microsoft. And so here I am.
I started out with community in my hometown, because I live in a place where there are a lot of universities and a lot of colleges, and very strong Unix community. And my first experiences with community for IT was Geek Nights in Pittsburgh, which were nights in which we all got together at a large bar. Everybody who did IT all hung out and drank until the early morning, once every quarter on the first Thursday night. So that meant we all went back to work on Friday morning. It was a bonding experience, and it was mostly men. It started out being all men and a few women, and now it's closer to, you know, a good 25, 30, 40% women now. Yeah, it's really great. But that was my first experience with the community, was Geek Night. And also, Mark Manassi is instrumental in getting me to do the speaking engagements and leaving my house and going out and seeing people. So that kind of brought me into the community, and working with SharePoint, because it was so challenging. Mm-hmm. And so few people knew how to use it. And that really surprised me. I'm like, well, if I can use it, anyone can. And everyone should. So I went out to try to share with people. And that's what ended up making the community for me. I actually spend far too much money doing community events, because they're, in a way, a lot more fun than what I might have to do for a living. You know? So community rocks.
There are four MVPs up here. I don't know
if we all... MVP.
Really?
Yeah. What? Story.
Okay. Offline. Oh.
And actually, I'm what happens to MVPs if they hang around long enough. I got hired.
Can't work at Microsoft and be an MVP. Mm-hmm.
So another plug for PacIT Pros. I started the LA chapter of PacIT Pros after coming up to the Bay Area and joining this great group. So user group, join one.
I mean, yeah, you can just user groups anywhere and just, and it's not always about giving to the community. It's getting from the community as well. It's just like so many people who come together in a group have their experiences and it doesn't matter, you know, male, female, whatever. It's just like everybody has something to bring to the table and just being able to contribute that and get back from that is just so important.
And if you're not able to come out face to face in the community, there are online communities as well. And, but I think it's good to have a mix of both of those. So whatever level you can participate in community, it will really benefit your career. And I think we can all attest to that.
One of the last things about community is that, honestly, I never really set out to be involved in community. That wasn't a path that I was taking. I got here because it was fun. I was hanging out with my friends. Sometimes I was drinking entirely too much herbal tea at late night at the hours with my friends. It was definitely herbal tea. just that hanging out and geeking and talking about stuff, and a lot of people happen to be my friends were people who were other geeks, and by definition that means you're involved in technical community. It's awesome.
Now, I guess the online community versus in-person community is an interesting dynamic. You guys have a preferred set of online communities. Where are you hanging out these days to talk tech online?
I'm not.
Twitter.
Oh, Twitter. Okay.
Twitter.
It's mostly Twitter for me.
It's really Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still use online forums usually to find answers. And I totally appreciate those communities existing because I tend to go to them for answers. But, you know, I don't necessarily have the time right now to actually contribute to online communities. But finding communities online, like, you know, meetups and things like that, like that's sort of the go-to place to find communities that meet in person. But I like in-person events. I like seeing the people that are doing the same things that I'm doing. And I think that that's,
yes.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's exactly it. One of the things about, I write books and things, so I spend a lot of time alone at my house, just mm-hmm. typing thousands of pages. And one of the things about community that I really like is the lack of isolation. You come out and you realize, oh wait, there are all these people just like me. And they had the same problem I had. And I get to meet them, and then I see the same people at different events. You end up with the it's not just a networking opportunity, it's a friendship opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's a connection with people that have more than surface similarities. And that, and also you can go for them sincerely without worry of judgment for help.
Right. And you can pull that back into the online because those people you meet in person, you're connected with in LinkedIn and you follow them on Twitter mm-hmm. and things like mm-hmm. that. And then vice versa. Matter of fact, I think at this event, there's a couple people that I know strictly on Twitter that I'm actually going to meet in person.
For the first time. Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of nice that it goes both ways, but I definitely like communities, you know, like Twitter that have, you know, kind of the instantaneous mm-hmm. sort of commentary because there's always something to read and there's always something technical and there's always, you know, somebody's posted an interesting link that takes me off someplace else and stuff like that. And I like, you know, having those little conversations that kind of crop up here and there that you get into this little back and forth with somebody in the afternoon and then it disappears. And that's fine because it's a fluid
day,
you know. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You can also get instant help.
Yes.
You know, for those who do SharePoint, you get the SP help hashtag. And there are some really great people sort of monitoring that. And so if I ask a question that anybody can answer at all in of the people that are watching that tag, a lot of times I get an answer almost immediately from them, which never happens. I don't know how many people may have put a call into Microsoft for support, but it tends not to be as quick as Twitter. You know, just bang, MVP's monitoring. I do have an online group in Facebook just for SharePoint Foundation because it's a product that's not well supported. But most of that, I've met most of those people at events like this, in sessions, in classes, people who emailed me because they've read my book and wanted to talk to the author. And that, it's amazing how easy those online groups can actually build from just those simple common things. If you took my class once, 10 years later, I'm still dialoguing with those people and still doing sessions for them online. So there is a potential for online groups But there's no central way of finding them as easy as this. This is awesome.
So quick comment about Twitter and just even a show of hands. Twitter? Anybody?
Twitters?
Okay.
So 10% of the room?
I started following Ted, and then, you know, Ted follows Ed, and then Ed follows Janelle. And so that is how that community started building for me. We met on Twitter. So, and what I love about social media, and not just Twitter, is that, you know, so nerds, we're not always the best at social interactions. It maybe isn't our first, you know, instinct to, you know, we're good at the computer, you know, not always this face to face, but Twitter is a really nice way to start communicating and this, and bridge that, you know, okay, I want to be more social. I want to be more approachable. I want to be, you know, learn those skills. And I think it's a great way to do it.
It's a nice, it's a nice icebreaker. Oh, I follow you. Yeah.
Do you follow me on Twitter?
Yeah.
You're on Twitter, right?
I'm on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
So right now.
What's your Twitter handle?
C.A. Callahan. I try to keep it simple all the way across the board.
C.A. Callahan.
I should have brought my cat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mine's complicated. It's J.K. Seymour 37. Back in the day when I didn't want to put my name there because I didn't know whether I was going to like it.
Well, you're speaking to a challenging issue here as well, which is revealing your gender online as much as, because you're certainly going to reveal it when it comes in person. And I don't think men ever think about that. But does that factor in consideration? Obviously, it did for Jeanette.
For me, it wasn't a factor mostly because I started out in person. Anybody who knew who I was had probably met me or had seen my full name on a book. So there wasn't a whole lot in trying to say that I was some guy named Krista. So it never bothered me. Mostly I was, you know, when I got a Twitter handle or whatever, trying to think of something I can live with because I'm going to be stuck with it a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But, yeah, I changed mine once, but Uber Geek Girl on Twitter is no really confusing that one.
Right. And for me, like when I signed up for Twitter, it was, I forget, it was still in its infancy, and I just didn't know whether I was going to use it or whether I wanted to use it, I was going to use it for. So I just went with my standard backup kind of generic handle. And then by the time I really started using it, it was just kind of like, well, I could change it, but then that would confuse people.
It's like a Facebook profile.
So it's cool. You know, the people who follow me. It's short, so it's easy to type.
Easy to remember.
Yeah.
And mine was intentionally gender neutral. The name on my book, the name I use on my name tags, the name I use for my email, the name I use for Twitter are all gender neutral. So that they look at my information
first.
Yeah. Before they bother to notice my gender, because I think that what I can bring to the table as far as technology should matter more. And people may subconsciously, you know, think something. It may influence them in some way. And I would rather have that just not even be thought about. So it's neutral. CA could be anything. And sometimes it is.
Now, crossing the line is coming out in person the first time. I've got to imagine it's pretty intimidating to walk into a community event and you're the only girl in the room.
Yes.
Tell us a story.
No.
Who's got a good one?
I'll try to think.
Okay. For those of you who can see me, you realize that I don't cut an intimidating figure. So that can actually be a disadvantage. When I first started writing in the MCT forums, interacting with Microsoft people, my writing style was inadvertently masculine because I was doing a lot of documentation, a lot of technical writing, and the people I was writing for, the people I was writing around, the people that taught me were male. I didn't even realize there was a difference. So I actually got told at one point that I was misleading people by making them think I was a man because the way I wrote was masculine. Really, all I was doing was spreading information, which should be gender neutral.
Were you supposed to dodge your heart?
Put hearts on there?
Yeah.
Or say
little butterflies?
Or add like in there?
I've never heard that.
Yeah. I was actually initially very flattered by that because they seemed to think that was impressive. But I was a lot younger then, too. So I found it interesting when I did finally show up at a community event, and it took a little courage for me to do so from my small town in rural America, and to have them say, "You're CA?" People kept saying over and over, "You're CA?" I generally, by the way, go by Callahan and added the first two letters because that field can't be a no value. So CA is the first two letters of my last name. Hello. So, but people called me CA and thought I was male and seemed shocked that I was not, which made me intimidated at my next event because now it became a thing.
It's a thing.
A thing I had to get used to, that people were going to show a reaction that I wasn't a male. And some of them are disappointed. Some of them are surprised. You know, some of them might be happy. I don't know. But there definitely is a response because there is an assumption being made.
So the thing that happens to me is just confusion. I remember going to tech ed and someone coming up and saying, "Excuse me, miss, are you lost?"
Oh.
So, you know, sometimes there's an assumption that I'm not technical, I must be marketing, you know, whatever. So that happens a lot more often than, you know, I would like. And, you know, I've learned to brush it off, whatever, because you just can't get bothered by that.
Assumed?
But it really, like, "Excuse me, miss, are you lost?
Are you lost?" Oh. Has anyone ever assumed that you teach Microsoft Word?
Oh,
yeah. I get that a lot. I hardly know how to use Word, but I can network your enterprise.
I'm trying to think of a story, and it doesn't happen now in user group. I mean, this is a very early user group story when I was probably one of the very few women that actually showed up at user group way back in the day. And we had a vendor presentation come in, and there was a speaker, and there was, I think, somebody from marketing who was a woman or something, and I ended up in the elevator with her. And this was back in the day when pretty much the only thing I did at user group was do the raffle tickets. Now you all know that I do a little bit more than just the raffle tickets, but I was doing the lottery tickets, and, we were in the elevator going down or up or something. And she looks at me and she's like, "Oh, you're technical? I just thought you handed out the tickets." And I'm just like, "You're a woman." I just wanted to be like, "Seriously?"
Really?
I'm like, that came out of the mouth of another woman. I was just like, wow.
Oh, yes.
It's just like, you know, it's never come out of the mouth of any of the guys that come into user group. But that came out of the mouth of a woman and a vendor, no less. So it was just kind of, I'm like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, and I just wanted to turn around and be like, "So you're the booth babe?" But it's stuff like that. I mean, I'm so used to being one of the few women in the room. I mean, it's great that there's more women in the room now.
Yeah.
I'm sometimes really shocked now when I'm the only woman in the room. That doesn't happen as much anymore. But, you know, I know what the numbers are, you know, and it'd be great if they were higher, but I'm not going to, you know, I can't stress about them every day when I go there, and I can't worry about, you know, how people are going to behave, because that's not why I'm there, you know, so...
So there's a hashtag on Twitter that I follow and sometimes tweet. It's called Change the Ratio. And it really is about, you know, changing the ratio of women in tech and, you know, helping increase that number. So that's a fun one to follow. And,
if you have old boys, you're not going to help.
Yeah.
Okay. One other one I remember from a long time ago doing this is, this is entirely too long ago because I think this was Comdex. And, I was one of my compatriots who is not in the room today, so he won't be embarrassed by this. Told me that he liked the way he could get control of the room if people were, you know, were like goofing off or, you know, doing whatever. And so he told me that if I lost a bet with him, that I had to dress in a dominatrix outfit to present. Now, when was the last time any of you guys who do speaking were told that you had to dress in whatever the male equivalent of dominatrix outfit is? It just becomes a thing. Being female never didn't bother me too much, just because it was there from my early 20s. And in my early 20s, I also had a lot of red hair, so, you know, it's really obvious that I'm not a guy. But it becomes a thing more often than you would like, even when you don't really want it to be.
Now, tell me you didn't actually do that. You didn't dress up.
Hell no. Plus, I won the bet.
Yeah, that too. Question over here.
So what do you do to raise the ratio? Do you mentor? Do you just use a hashtag? How do you get the word out that women in tech is something that is necessary for growth in not just the industry, but for 51% of the population?
Actually, I can suggest, make a suggestion, and I am not, they can attest, I'm generally the person in the back. I don't normally do women in technology panels, and I don't normally really point out the fact that I'm female, but I have to admit that that is something that we think about in the SharePoint community. We do a lot of events that are SharePoint Saturdays, and they've grown very popular, and we do them all over the United States and outside the United States. And there is a sort of underground drive where it starts out with females who attend to learn and discover that there are other women presenters, see how fun and wonderful the event is, realize they have something to say. And so I have had a number of my attendees who were female attendees who later became women presenters. Because if you make it accessible, if you make it look doable when you're doing it, it makes it easier for other people to realize they can do it too. And so there's a strong encouragement to have the other women step up, because we just need more people who understand SharePoint to help other people understand SharePoint.
And I love that the women in SharePoint community is very strong. So that's really a model. And I think we were going to talk about, get into mentoring and things like that. And I think every woman in technology, has, you know, a particular viewpoint of how they want to contribute or can help. I personally am very, passionate about mentoring, and I'm very passionate about reaching girls at a younger and younger age to bring them in, because the younger we reach them, the more normal it seems that this is a career that they can go into. My particular feeling is that the developer community has a lot more women in it. So yeah. I'm a little bit jealous of that, that they have, you know, such a higher ratio, in infrastructure. You know, like Janelle and I are like the only two women at sysadmin conferences that we go to. So there's less of us on the infrastructure side in general.
And that baffles me. It baffles me because infrastructure, if I'm not mistaken.
So fun.
Well, not only is it fun, it's all about nurturing.
It's a place for extroverts.
Yeah, it is. It's people. You're nurturing the network to keep it up and keep it running for other people. You're running it for other people. Unlike a lot of the developer environment, we're meeting those people we are supporting. I am kind of surprised there aren't more women, because this is a role in which having the ability to work with lots and lots of other people.
Well, you see some of the, I mean, and it's awesome because it's out there, but you know, there's these things, you know, code camps for girls and teaching programming to girls and stuff like that. I think on many levels that the dev thing has a better sort of input for that. I mean, there's nobody that's going to start turning 30, you know, 30 somethings from whatever they're doing into IT. It's just not going to happen. It has to start, you know, in the elementary school age. And I think from a dev standpoint, it's easy to be like, you know, teach programming to girls. You can come to a half a day camp and come up with an app of some kind or do something like that. It's kind of hard to be like, you know, teach Exchange Server to girls. I mean, you know. It's not quite as easy to like spin that up, you know. I don't know how you know, teaching routing and switching to girls. Yeah. I mean,
I also don't think it's not just not sexy. It's very difficult. I used to do a half day class on scripting,
right?
And you can get somebody who's never touched, you know, at this point it was VB script. Someone who's never touched this stuff before to someone who can write a program very easily in 4 hours. You know, but getting from someone who has never touched remote desktop services to someone who can run their own deployment in 4 hours, probably not so much.
Let me explain Active Directory to you, and let's talk about subnetting. I mean, it's just not there.
I also want to talk briefly about the question about community, because one of the things I want to discuss a little bit from what I'm doing at Microsoft, actually, about that. Just being in technology does not mean that you're necessarily feeling like you're part of the community. It means you have a job. Yeah. And I'm involved in the Women's Leadership Council at work. And the reason why the Women's Leadership Council at work was formed in the first place was because our leadership was looking at the female population of server and tools business. and realizing that they weren't retaining women. It was not a culture where women seemed to stay. And so a number of women got together and formed the initial Women's Leadership Council, and then it sort of progressed over the years. So we now run a number of programs which encourages people not only for social networking, so they can find other women at Microsoft, which in engineering is not always the easiest thing to do, and also so that they can do professional development. And I think that this is a program I'm really proud to be involved with. We're engaging with about 700 people through one program and 350 through another, just in server and tools. And this is the kind of thing that even though it's not as much on the outside, it's still important for getting people involved with community inside a very large organization.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, coming out to a user group event. So the challenge for women, and this is just one particular viewpoint I have, is, you know, my experience, you know, working in corporate IT, you know, I came into a job when I first moved to Los Angeles, and I was the only woman in an IT department. I was in a room with, you know, 12 dudes. And, you know, so what happens is you look around, and if you don't see anything or anyone like you, or you don't feel like you belong. And one challenge that I've seen is, you know, guys don't always go out of their way to make women feel welcome or part of the team, especially. And when you join a team and if you are that minority person, there's this sense of, you know, you're going to make me look bad. You know, if you come in there, especially if you're a strong woman, if you have a lot of, you know, strong opinions and you're, you know, forthright and outspoken, you know, that can really be viewed as very aggressive, where that same type of behavior in a man would be welcomed. So I think as, you know, just coming into a team, women need more tools to how do I come into a team and become part of that. And that's a skill that men and women need, right? Is how do you, you know, join a team and become part of that team? And then the second piece is, you know, how do we keep women on, you know, in those careers? And, you know, I don't have all the answers, but frankly, you know, there's been many, many times in my career where I've wanted to leave because it's like I couldn't take one more thing. Mm-hmm. It was just the tipping point here and there. And again, you know, I wrote a blog post about it one time, all the various bad things that have happened to me. I need to write a follow-up of all the good things that have happened, but these things will really push women out. And if the same experience happened to men, you know, I just don't think we would be having this conversation. It would be a different conversation if those types of things, happen to men. So just thinking about awareness and, you know, how you're communicating with your peers and your coworkers and, you know, how are we just all working to have a really diverse, workforce in IT.
Got a question over here, sir.
Yeah. So, we, just a few months ago, actually set forth to have to try to hire a woman at a sysadmin. And,
there's two of
so
us.
We did, we
made yeah, there are two of us. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That everyone knew that. And it became really difficult. And, you know, we weren't, like, screening out men by for any reason. And we just found that we didn't find any women that really had the infrastructure / IT generalist kind of stuff. A lot more women were specialized. And I was just wondering if you got any recommendations for the next time that we hire.
So let me restate your question then. So you mean your company needed to hire a sysadmin first and then took on the idea of, and we should try for some diversity here too. Like, can we, and then literally could not find a woman qualified, couldn't find the set of skills that you were necessarily looking for. Did find some women in the general area, sort of in specialized areas, but for that particular skill, it's hard to find. How are we going to grow more? Because clearly, you know, you want to hire them if we can find them.
I would bring a different dynamic to
But women definitely look at problems differently. Diversity strengthens teams. We see it over and over again, whether you're talking about different genders as well as just different outlooks, you know, from different social environments, from, you know, different parts of the world. It has an impact on how productive our teams are. But let me get back to the panel here. Have you got some thoughts on how we're going to do this?
I definitely do. I think it would be really valuable for you to think a little bit outside the box and start looking within your company who's already there of who you could grow into that position. So I'm thinking about looking at your admins, who are, go-getters, who are always looking for the next step. These women might be a little bit bored in what they're doing, and they might have skills that you just don't know. So, and something to consider is, instead of looking for a woman who already has exactly the skills that you need, try to think about who you could be grooming right now, who maybe is already in your organization. You know, looking for a help desk person or somebody who's just really fresh in the industry, who you can, again, groom and grow into that position, because they're going to be more valuable if they've already been on your team or been in your company. So thinking outside the box as far as, you know, because it's going to be tough to find that person. You know, like I said, there's only a couple of us, but...
She's absolutely right. I will tell you that my first job when I went looking for it, and IT was actually my second career. So I went to college for something else, and I decided that I wanted to do computers, and I switched. So, but when I went looking for a job, I actually went looking for an admin position in a very small company, and I handled the front desk, and I watched the help desk guy until I started doing his work, and I basically just took his job. You know, eventually he moved on, and it was like, oh, I can, you know, not that, I mean, systems administration has a whole lot of components to it, and there's a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of general stuff you need to learn. But the reality is that Active Directory users and computers is not rocket science. You know, I mean, you know, things like that. And the concepts behind that are easy. And taking somebody who already knows the people in your organization and already understands a lot of the culture and how you do things in the system can kind of make that jump. Like, hey, here, you can, let me show you how to reset passwords. Have a good time. You know?
look for the personality first. Yeah. And I don't want to forget about your question.
I have done that.
You've done that.
Exactly that.
Okay, good.
I'm working on the receptionist right now. She doesn't want to do it.
Yeah. So just...
There's several other people. My ex, I used to, she was tech savvy and everything like that. Do it. Just, yeah. You know, I'll tell you exactly what you need to do.
Once.
For the females, so much pushback. But there's been other men that have come to me and said, well, you know, how do I get into the industry?
Sure.
And well, women, you know, some of them.
Well, I would also try looking at established groups of women who get together about this. Like, I'm living in Seattle, and I'm part of Seattle Girl Geeks. If I were actively trying to recruit technical women for something, I would be asking around there, either with the people who are
get out into the community.
Exactly. Get into the community you're trying to recruit from, because I understand. Honestly, I was freelancing for a long time, and I was actively interested in trying to get, you know, women involved in technology and doing stuff. And it wasn't always easy if you're trying to go after somebody, because sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
I've had the number of times I've tried doing this to get somebody really launched. I've had probably like one really, really good success. But that's been a fantastic success, but still. One.
And like Janelle, my first real IT job, but I was a receptionist, and I was sitting there, and the person who left said, you know, it's okay to read a book while you're sitting here waiting for the phone to ring. You know, instead of reading the book, I started doing QA with the developers and helping them check in their code every morning. And then it's like, oh, I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. And then, you know, it moved on. And then I started doing corporate IT, and, you know, the help desk couldn't keep up because we were insourcing from another company, and look at me, I can plug a computer in, I can connect a patch cord, you know, I can do all of this thing. So again, it's not women who can be very successful in this field don't always know it, or it may not be really obvious. So just some thoughts.
When I started in the field, I started like probably many of the women did. You end up in administrator jobs, you know, secretary, receptionist. And you end up doing technology because you turn out to be better at it than everyone else. And that's a shame, because that's a thing about the women in technology, is we turned out, we had to start better than everyone else. I know that I was told early on that being a generalist, just being a sysadmin as a woman, may not be the best route for me. I was told I should find something that I specialize in. And that may be one of the problems with having these women who only now focus on a specialty. We may have started general, but in order to be heard and really respected, you have to really drill down and be an expert at something. Another thing that might make a young woman not really look forward to being a sysadmin quite so much, like the receptionist, is the sort of cold shoulder or being treated like she's different in some way. No one really wants to. That's novel at first, be treated special. You're different. I have something unique. After a while, that gets to be a little tiresome. Yeah, so to be seen more because you are the only expert exchange in your office, rather than being part of the team of sysadmins, you know, you can see where that defense, you have a better defense, more authority, more recognition. But I know that myself and most of the women that I know that did end up doing IT, we saw it. We went and got it. And it is a challenge to make someone into an IT person, male or female, really, but particularly female because we have that discouragement factor. So what makes me kind of sad is if you were in my area, there are many women looking to be IT professionals. But that's way on the East Coast, so I can't help you here, buddy.
Seattle, we can probably help you out.
Question, Glenn?
My friend Sarah Chips, she started this group called Girl Develop It. And the idea of Girl Develop It was really to focus on women and bring an environment where women are educating women, and it helps to bring women out. And I'm not trying to say advocating the special thing, but I think in this case, in terms of providing an environment where, I don't want to put this in quotes, but like where women don't feel dumb. And that's a horrible thing to say, but I mean, this is what I've heard, is that women feel very comfortable in that environment because they're intimidated, it's safe. And they're being educated by women who are out there doing it. So that's actually very encouraging. So one of the ideas I had was, I think that on the developer side, there's still a long way to go. But as you mentioned, it really is growing. They have like 7,000 chapters of Girl Develop It. Is this on?
Yeah, we have no echo, so you can't tell.
Yeah. So one idea is, have you thought about maybe either connecting with them or thinking about trying to do, and I'm not aware of what's being done, so I'm just throwing this out there, some type of kind of grassroots kind of movement like that. Like you mentioned kind of the Girl Geeks kind of thing, but this would be more specialized around kind of women that might be interested in doing kind of the admin thing and say, hey, come out, we'll teach you. And then it can become a grassroots thing where you get other people that you enlist that then do that around the country. And maybe that's happening. I'm just throwing that out there as an idea.
Thank you for that question. I'm not aware of any particular organization or group that's working on, you know, sysadmins for women. It really is not, because as Janelle mentioned, you know, the field is, you can't just come in and take an 8-hour class and then have, you know, right. It is just like this process of years and years and years of growing. You know, you might spend it, I spent a, yes, of course. And so I am doing a couple of things in that area, but think about, you know, I spent a year and a half at the help desk before I truly understood, you know, the difference between a quota on a personal folder versus a quota on the Exchange server folder. You know, and this kind of stuff takes years to understand. And it really just comes through trial and error, user support. I think that it's a different, that we need a different approach, because the Girl Development groups, you know, there's Ruby Girls, there's Black Girls Code.
There's something else to consider.
Right.
It's just more boring.
You know what? You have a good point, because I want to say that I have been doing
that instant gratification of hello world.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You don't get that, right?
Yeah.
And I do some mentoring. You know, I had a 15-year-old girl that come every Friday to my office. You know, I would take her out to see clients and so forth. And, but really it's not, it's, we fix computers, right? What do you do? You know, it's not sexy. It's not rocket science. It's plumbing, right? You're doing plumbing.
One of the things we end up doing with the Girl Geese groups, and there's also one in San Francisco, actually, might be useful to you, mm-hmm. Is the different companies around the area, like Amazon or Microsoft or Google or whomever, will do a discussion group where so you can actually see what you can do in technology. Because, you know, normally what you say is like, I mean, the quickest way to get shut down to parties is somebody asks you what you do and I say work with computers. Okay. I have to walk over here now. You know. Yeah. So, but if you tell people, it's like one I went to is we talked with a woman who runs Connect.
Oh.
And so she can talk about all the research they did for how Connect works, you know, the gaming platform, all this stuff. It is cool to hear about and it gives you an idea of like, oh, well, if I learned X, then I could do Y. I could work on stuff like that. And that would be totally cool. Just saying that I want to teach you to be a sysadmin. No, I'm sorry. That doesn't really do it for me either. But if you tell me that I can sit there and I can run the guts of, say, a bank, which is running around the world and find out ways for that big bank to begin to communicate more efficiently with its branches and do real-time transactions, which are totally safe and can be, you know, all this stuff. Give me problems to solve.
Yeah.
Give me something to work on. And that's interesting. Tell me I can flip switches. Not so much.
Yeah. So this idea of project-based learning is really interesting to me. And, down in LA, I would really love to see, you know, what more we could do to facilitate groups, that are like Girl Develop It, but more on the infrastructure side. So, Mark.
It had to happen at some point, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mark, will you come up?
Come up.
I guess what I want to ask is a modification of the questions you guys have been talking about. And there's something that puzzles me in IT that maybe you have an insight on. When I got started at IT, there was five of us, and we're all guys, you know. And, you know, and Krista knows when I started my training company that, you know, if you didn't work really hard when you advertised for a IT trainer, you got, you know, fat white guys with beards and glasses, you know. So we worked pretty hard to try to incorporate others, and that was great. But, you know, there was a time, it really felt like there was a time in the 90s, and maybe 2001, 2002, where there was a significantly growing percentage of women in IT. Not in Europe. I mean, Krista's been in Europe, and you can echo that. It's astounding. We'll go to a conference in Europe. It's like, there are three unconfirmed sightings of women, you know. Yeah. You know. But I mean, but it feels like in the U.S., and maybe you guys know better, so tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like there are fewer women. Are we losing you guys? Yes. And what's gotten worse? Tell us why, okay?
That was an excellent question. Yes, you win. So I mentioned, and I'm not going to go into the details. I posted on a blog about it. But many, many times I've considered leaving IT. And so the solution for me, though, is I did leave IT. I left corporate IT. Because it was such a hostile, unfriendly place, I started my own company. So 7 years ago, I started Uber Geek Girl. I work for myself. That was my solution. And I think it's, a great solution, not for everybody. But, you know, girls need to know that this is a field that you can totally be in charge of your own life and your own success. And it doesn't require, you know, you don't have to have a master's. You don't have to have some of the super higher educational requirements of some fields. It's a field where you can really have.
Something I just thought of, though, talking about being an independent, and it turns out to be so much better when you work for yourself. Suddenly a lot of that negativity goes away.
Gone.
It's
an isolated experiences now, well, but I'm in charge.
Right. Well, what I'm finding is my customers, I'm an independent consultant. I tend to want to be a trainer and a writer, and I end up doing a lot of consulting. It's surprising how many people just want you to do it for them. But I find that my customers are far less worried about my gender than the other guys in IT. The other people in the IT shop actually think more about my gender than the customer that actually is depending on me to improve and make and break their productivity. That America is not necessarily that against women in technology. It's the guys already in technology that seem to have these pre-based notions that we should do work.
One other thing and the reason why I got involved with the Women's Leadership Council in the first place is that it's not necessarily that the women aren't there. I frankly haven't done the research, so I couldn't tell you year on year we've lost, you know, this many or gained so many. But what I do know is that there can also be a feeling like you get stuck.
Yeah.
And getting stuck is the killer, because if you're stuck in a field, you can either go independent, and I was an independent for 12 years before I decided to completely reverse things and, you know, go with Microsoft, and that was a change, let me tell you. If you feel like you're stuck, you either try to break out and maybe you spin your wheels and maybe you find a way, or you go. Or you make yourself crazy. So I think one of the things that we can all do, you know, male or female, doesn't matter, but is like try to encourage the people and help the people grow professionally. Help everybody grow professionally, and that's the way to keep people around.
True. That's a great point.
I was going to say, I'm just going to, I don't know why women leave. I mean, I personally, I love IT. Maybe it's because I don't pay any attention to you guys, really. I mean, boys are stupid. No, just kidding. No, but it's just like, you know, it's just like, it's an industry where, I mean, it's just, we are who we are. And I just try to spend a lot of time not worrying about getting offended, because I think a lot of it is, and maybe it's the generation of women that are sort of coming into it now, or, you know, I'm a special snowflake. I don't get it, you know, but it's just like, come on. Like, you just can't be that offended. You know, everybody has their sticking points. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, you know, you're going to get offended by something. Yeah. And if you're going to take that personally, like I am now offended. I can't do this job, or I need to switch my career, or I can't, you know,
you'll
get over
switch
that.
A lot of careers doing that, right?
What? Yeah, you'll be spending a lot of time looking for a new job. It's just like, on some levels, you just need to kind of let it go and do what you do well, and let that speak for itself, and not spend so much time worrying. I mean, it's almost like you have to take it from two ends. It's like, yes, we want to be supportive, and you need to support everybody in your company, not just the women, right. Not just the men. But at the same time, as an individual, you also need to sort of be open to the fact that not every day is sunshine and roses. And sometimes people will say or do things that are just inappropriate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just need to be like, okay, you know, he's having a bad day. She's having a bad day. That was stupid. And you just move on, you know?
And I agree with that to almost 100%. There's a difference between being offended and being assaulted, or
right, yeah, exactly.
You know,
there's
or
a big difference.
You know, so yeah. So there's this wide range of experiences that women have, and you know, I think the biggest challenge is that women don't have the skills to navigate those challenges, because we're just not expecting them. We're showing up, we're ready to work, and then bam, out of the blue, you know, 100 different examples, really, really. So just, you know, we don't always have the skills to respond to those. Like, well, it's like, is that me? What did, what, how, what?
Yeah. And when really? when it grinds you down, it's one thing to have occasional experiences
brutal.
Where people are unskilled in the way they communicate with you. Man, no big deal. Yeah, I'm still, you know, good at what I do, and you're going to need me next week. So it's all good. Yeah. But then there are times when it does get to be too much. Now, I personally have not experienced a lot of things that other people have experienced. It's one of the reasons why I don't spend a lot of time on these panels. But I have to admit that I've seen it and I've felt it, and I can understand why. I mean, this industry is my goal. This is all I want to do. I want to be in IT, and it comes right down to it. I don't care what part of IT I'm in. I want to be in IT. Computers are my thing. You know what I mean? But given that, I surmount some stuff that maybe other people might not tolerate, but it's still there. And to see new people unable to come in and see good people driven out, it is kind of heartbreaking.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. So here's a more important question, because I have two daughters.
Yeah.
One's 21, one's 12.
Do the math.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And Ted, you
have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old.
8-year-old and a 4-year-old. So what do you say to kids of that age? Obviously, my 21-year-old is graduating college and everything else. But so she's sort of chosen her direction. But for 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and below, what do you say to folks like that to actually engage them, to improve interest? And this is where I think the devs are sort of winning. I agree. Yeah. But I don't think that that's a bad thing, because they can choose, once they get that introduction, they can say, you know what, maybe I don't like coding, yeah, but you know, managing systems isn't so bad. Or maybe I like coding, but I like doing other things with it, as opposed to just being a dev purely. No offense, Richard. but I, what would you say?
Give them something to take apart and put back together again. Yeah. Give them power.
Oh, power.
Yeah.
Nice.
Be excited about it. You know, these girls that are, you know, maybe you're at an event, maybe you're organizing this or that, you know, whether you've had bad experiences or not, you don't come out and go, oh, this, don't let this happen to you. You know, you can't come with that. You have to show confidence and excitement and give them something. You have to be a model, right? You have to be some, they have to look up and go, oh, I can see myself in you. I can see myself in right. the field that you're in, and I like it. And, you know, painting a picture is really important. And then the second point I wanted to make is, and I can't think of, I'll post it on Twitter later, but there was a really beautiful letter that someone wrote and posted on Twitter. It was basically a letter to my niece who was going into IT or development. And it's just this beautiful, descriptive talk about her hopes, you know, for her niece in, as she was, you know, thinking about going into technology. And I'll post that because I think that that will, just give, inspire you and give you some hope too for your daughters.
I also wanted to mention, if I were a 12-year-old thinking about going into IT, you know, like just excited about taking part in putting together computers and networking to play games and how does this all work and how's the internet work, wanting somebody wants to get underneath it instead of just be on the surface of it. I don't know if I would even let the 12-year-old, I would even mention to the 12-year-old that it would be hard for her because she's a girl. I would never even, she's going to be superwoman or super person, male or female. And I would just make it normal.
Totally
as normal.
Normal
as possible for her right. to be a technologist.
Yeah.
Technologies.
Like yeah. for us, we, you know, we've had some challenging experiences, but it yeah. doesn't have to be that way for this next generation who are coming up.
Well, and honestly, I mean, like everybody said, you're going to run into road bumps. Somebody's going to be a jerk. Somebody's going to have a moment where you say, touch me again, I'm going to break your hand. That's going to happen.
Okay,
some point.
So that happened.
Yeah, that happened to me too.
There was a comment
but,
in the back.
But let me just finish one thing though, that I'd love to hear that. But it's about learning that you have worth, that you can do what you want to do, that mom or dad doesn't always have to be the person to fix the internet. You can fix it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying about power, is that give the kids power to know that they can fix things if that's what they want to do. Don't take it from them.
I've only been in this field about 10 years, but I was a stay-at-home mom before this, which is much, much harder. And I forwarded the IT field by giving birth. And I did not encourage her to do anything she didn't want to do. I simply let her do what interests her. And from a very young age, she loved video games. And she was also in a ballet company. But that lifespan only lasts so long, and IT goes on forever. So now she's 26, and she's a producer of a video game company. She's very successful, probably way more successful than I've ever been at 26. And she doesn't understand any of your issues.
Good,
she doesn't
good,
know
good,
that women
right,
are paid
excellent.
Less. She mm-hmm. doesn't know that women are treated better. She has not a clue. So if she has some interest in an area, just nurture it. Women are very adaptive, and they'll do whatever they want to do. And secondly, for the man who's looking for a person to work, I get a job offer every month on LinkedIn for telecom. I'm not telecom. But once upon a time, long ago, I put together an OCS infrastructure. It's the last thing I posted on LinkedIn. Every month, I still get a job offer.
Oh, so LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. LinkedIn's yeah, just check LinkedIn.
Okay. Thank you. We're coming towards the end of this, and I did want to spend some time on the STEM discussion as a whole, the science, technology, engineering, maths. And I don't even know that it's got a particular gender bias. I mean, for the most part, in the West, fewer kids are getting involved in STEM across the board. I'm interested in your thoughts on how we engage these younger kids. I know for myself, I'm going into schools and talking about technology because I can. And it turns out schools generally want people to come and talk to them. But it does seem to be the 10 to 12-year-olds that get the strongest reaction. But I'm curious as to whether it makes sense to talk to the girls separately, almost,
no.
to make it more acceptable. But let me pass it back to you guys on how we engage these younger kids to get involved.
I would prefer they were all treated equal. Don't start pulling the girls out at 10 or 12. I'd rather they were all there and that the adult in front was the role model to show them that there is no bias, that gender is irrelevant. It's your interest, your capability, and your willingness to learn. I would rather they weren't pulled out special, because girls only get pulled out special in school for sex ed. You know,
Yeah, but 10 and 12 is too late, you know.
Yeah,
if you
that
start
is true.
In, you know,
are
if you
we talking
in,
sex ed?
If you start, if you start with, no, with the STEM discussion, you know, I think it's got to be earlier. I think it's got to be in the
earlier,
fourth,
but I'd
fourth
rather
grade,
not
something
be
like
out.
That.
I'd
yeah,
rather
no,
the girls and boys
because,
together.
But at that early age in the fourth and fifth grade,
I agree.
They don't have these gender identity issues necessarily yet. I don't know.
You have boys. No.
Right, I know. I have three boys.
Maybe some don't.
You're open to being treated.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What I would say, though, is make it mandatory. There was this really cool program that we came across in Stuyvesant School in New York. It's a private school there. And they're doing beginning computer classes in high school. Actually, no, sorry, it was in junior high when we were talking about this. And these are mandatory. It's like you take English, you take your English class, you take your science class, you take your computer science class. The cool part about this is, from the article we're reading, and it makes sense to me, is that the girls who are in this class don't feel weird because all their friends are there. Yeah. You're not the one who decided, I'm going to be the outlier, I'm going to go do this. It's like you don't feel weird for taking English 101, right? And so you get exposure to something to learn. And I think that's the way to do it. Make it part of a standard curriculum, and that really helps. Don't make it a choice that you have to, like, really reach out for.
But how do we, you know, so that now we're talking about getting into the educational system, which is just a bureaucracy of unknown proportions. But I absolutely agree that it should be mandatory. You know, Oregon Trail, hello, that was mandatory in my school. I mean, that was my first exposure to computers, but we need those classes and they do need to be mandatory. I'm a big proponent of that.
Parents, you know, I mean, just like as a parent, you know, you kind of have to kind of push your schools to do those sort of things. But even if you can't, I mean, I think it starts at home. I mean, mine are under three. So there's not so much we can do, but I mean, you should see my 2-year-old handle his phone. Oh, I mean, it's just insane. And my husband and I have arguments. He's an art major. So, you know, we have different ideas about how, you know, what the girls should do, but, he does some web development and things like that. But I came home one day from work and I saw my husband and my 2-year-old at the kitchen counter leaning over a broken electronic toy trying to fix a button. My first thought was this is not going to go well because, like I said, my husband's an art major and my daughter is 2.5. But they did get it fixed.
She'll get it.
It was fixed. Yeah. I'm not sure who contributed most to that process, but they fixed the blinky toy. So I just came home and I was so excited just to see the fact that at 2, he had the sense to open it up and say, let her see what's inside this thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just like, it's just little things like that. It's just like you have to kind of, it's not just, oh, this is broken, let's throw it away. It's let's open it up and see if we can fix it. And, you know, just finding those points, moments. Yeah.
My daughter is almost 2, and she's also really good at finding the place where you've disabled the speaker. So, yes, they're really good at tech at that age.
Absolutely. So, one thought I have about STEM education in general is that, again, I'm focusing on infrastructure because that's what I do, is what I have noticed is that the efforts that we do make are very isolated and there's no continuum of, okay, so if you do an event for girls or young people, you know, helping them figure out where they are on the continuum of what's next if they're interested, right? So there's that concept and trying to figure out what to do with that, and I sure don't have the answers. And then the second is a little shameless plug for stemadvantage.org, which is a nonprofit that I mentor for, and what they're doing, it's a very small pilot program, is they're giving these computer science majors, young women, a 1-year paid internship at a company.
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
I mean, they have to interview for it. They actually have to get the offer, but they're facilitating that, right?
Sweet.
They're getting 2 years of tuition and books and the mentoring. So those three pieces, these kids are going to graduate with less of that student loan burden. So we're going to actually get them to fully finish their computer science degree and actually graduate, right? So come out of that with not only a little bit less of the student loan debt, but also some real work experience and the softer skills and the professional skills that we would get through the mentoring. So we're giving these kids a huge advantage, this STEM Advantage program. So things like that, if you see them, get involved,
help in any way that you can.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a national organization or a local one, honestly. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that now. But there's also in our area the Ignite program, which is for encouraging young kids, and I believe it is girls, but encouraging young girls to get involved in technology. There's kids come to campus at Microsoft and they ask for volunteers from us to come by and talk to the kids about what we do and what, you know, just give demos and show them how to build robots and cool stuff like that.
There's another organization, part of Microsoft, that I think would be more successful if you could find any information about it, but it's like student to business. There's some program that Microsoft does that will connect students in with organizations, not paid internships, but help them get internships at companies.
We should talk
student.
Online about that. I honestly have never heard of it, so clearly it's not being evangelized as well as it could be.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a question.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make a comment that for those of you in the audience who are looking to get more girls maybe in your employment pipeline here in the Bay Area, you didn't realize Girls Inc. is a pretty strong organization, and they too are looking for field trips and internships for their girls because we really feel like that's a great way.
So this is an organization in San Francisco called Girls Inc.?
Girls Inc., yeah.
And INC? So there's chapters around the San Francisco area.
You can reach out to them, just go to girlsinc.org and try to find your local chapter. I'm sure someone within any one of those offices would be happy to put you in touch with the coordinator who can maybe link up girls with your organization.
So it's basically an opportunity to have bring kids in to see what you do. To have a chance to chat and mentor with them.
They really feel like the research they've done shows that mentoring and exposure are two of the most important elements for getting girls into science and training.
And the mentoring piece has got to be a huge part of that.
And just add that Girls Inc. is not some tiny little nonprofit. Girls Inc. has 105 full-time employees here.
Girls Inc. employs 105 people in the San Francisco area.
Wow.
Hopefully
it's
some
a
women.
Big organization.
Hopefully some women.
Hopefully some women.
One of them.
Yeah.
It's mostly women.
Oh.
All right.
Unfortunately, STEM is only a subsection.
Right. Mm-hmm.
STEM is only part of Girls Inc. Okay.
Yeah.
We're just about out of time here. Any final words, folks?
No. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Yay. I'm happy everybody came and we've got a long way to go. But I also think that, you know, IT and technology isn't the only male-dominated field. I mean, I think other fields have similar problems.
Do we have a hand for our panel? Thanks.